What is going down, everybody? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype episode number 170 in the house. Check out the website, MojoBreak.com. Check out MojoBreak Media for all your content. We just did a top five undervalued PSA card, so check that out on our MojoBreak Media content. But we got a big show today. We're going to talk about some of the best products of 2020, and we're going to tie that in with a giveaway, guys. So we're going to have you guys vote. We're going to name the winners of the best products next week on next week's show, and we're going to be giving away some hobby boxes for you guys just to vote, because we want to know what the people have to say. So thanks for tuning in. So next to C-Rad, Dan should be here. He's actually running the shop. Dan is a jack of all trades, so he's got some customers in our shop here. If you're in the Santa Clara area, we have a full service hobby shop here that you can come into and check out what we got. But C-Rad, what's going down, man?
Not much, man. Just chilling, enjoying the holidays, enjoying NBA being back. You know what I mean? A lot of good products released recently, so just been having fun.
What's your biggest takeaway of the NBA so far from a hobby perspective?
I would say the rookies are probably like where we expected them to be at this point. You know, like a huge learning curve for a lot of them, probably not having played for so long, and also, you know, so. But it does get me, you know, still excited for what they can do. But they have started pretty slow. Some of them showed some like pretty good flashes, like Edwards. You know what I mean? Wiseman has showed a little bit in the first few games, but
yeah, Wiseman looks like he's in the lead so far, right? But he's getting some playing time because the Warriors have lost Chris and Draymond's not playing. You know, LaMelo's been looking pretty good. I mean, hasn't been scoring a lot of points, but he's been getting those assists. So it'll be interesting. I think everybody still in this hobby is still focused on the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, with Morant, Zion, Hero, and then obviously Luka and Trey having an incredible year. So those prices on those Trey cards are going up. I've even seen Markelle Fultz. The Magic are 4-0, and Markelle Fultz cards, those people that bought those Markelle Fultz cards and hold on to them, they might be actually being able to sell them for more than they paid for them.
You know? Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
I will say, like, yeah, the Hawks have been incredible to watch. They look like they're going to be such a fun young team with Collins and of course, Reddish and Hunter and, of course, Trey. The thing about the new rookie class, too, is that they have some time because it looks like we're not getting NBA hoops until February, bro.
Oh, okay.
And that's the first official, you know, NBA with them in their uniforms and stuff. So,
and that might be tentative, too, because I've heard they're experiencing some shutdowns or at least half staff over there in Texas where they pack out the cards. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wouldn't hold firm on any release dates of sports cards, maybe even Pokemon for that reason as well. But if you see a date on somebody's website, I wouldn't hold that person to that date because things are probably going to change with those upcoming products. But well, let's get into our first order of business. We're giving away $25,000 to the Barstool Fund that's going to help small businesses. As a small business ourselves, we felt, you know, we're in a good position to help out those small businesses that are in need. So Dave Portnoy is doing a great job of generating money for these businesses that have been affected by COVID. I think it was up to $9 million he's already gotten donated to him that he's funneling out to these small businesses in need. And, you know, it's a great program that he's got going on over there, and he's getting a lot of support from big-name celebrities and things like that. So what we're doing is we're doing a 2020 Transcendent Baseball case break, and 100% of what we take in is going to the Barstool Fund. So the break's actually $3.99 a spot, which is a great price. Everybody's guaranteed something. And if you're not familiar with Transcendent, it is the pinnacle of high-end baseball. You got Babe Ruth cut autos. You've got Willie Mays bat plate, bat knob chase. You've got Bryce Harper 101. You've got the party invitation, which is one of the best parties in this industry. Obviously, they haven't named a date yet because of what's going on in the world, but I guarantee you, if you get one of these passes at the Transcendent, it's going to be the party of a lifetime. They give a bunch of nice free stuff away. You get to hang out with one of the athletes. I don't think they've named it as Bryce Harper yet, but my assumption is that you get to kind of have dinner and hang out with Bryce Harper as part of the event. That's amazing. There's two 101s in the case. There's an oversized patch. You got to check it out. But once again, the main thing is that we're going to go ahead and donate all of that money to the Barstool Fund to help one of these small businesses. You can go on their website and see what they already have helped out. I mean, they've helped out, like, this guy had a hot dog stand that he wasn't able to sell his product anymore, and salon owners. They're basically giving they're making sure that the people that get the money are the ones that were affected by COVID. So great program that Dave Portnoy's got going on, and you know, we're happy to be able to be in a position to give back and offer you guys to be a part of it some awesome stuff. Hopefully we get a really nice case. So that's going down Monday, this upcoming Monday, at 6 p.m. Pacific on YouTube. The break will happen. And there's already, I think, 15 to 20 spots have already sold. So you want to grab your spots while you can. Those cases retail for $30,000, guys. So get in for $3.99 and know that the money's going to a great place. So what are your thoughts, man? The Barstool Fund, they're really, really helping out people in need.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably vitally needed for what's going on right now. So shout out to them for doing that. And, you know, being able to help out in any way is a blessing, you know what I mean? So, yeah, get in on that break if you guys can.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, our places around here, we can't go to a restaurant, and we can't even sit outside anymore. So, you know, I've been trying to do what I can to order DoorDash and stuff like that from these local restaurants that, you know, are really in need, because they went from having full restaurants to just doing to-go orders, and it's tough. You know, it's tough for these companies. So I always try to, you know, instead of going to, like, some of the bigger corporations that may not necessarily need it, I'm going to, like, hey, this guy's got one location, I'm going to order some food from them. So, but let's get into the main topic of today, which is the best of the year. We're just going to have a discussion about these products. We're going to put it out on Twitter for you guys to vote and comment. If you're one of the people that follow these posts, because we're going to be giving away stuff. So for those that comment on these posts. But we're going to start with baseball, the top 2020 baseball products. We've had a lot of them. We've narrowed it down to some of the ones that we know you guys have requested, the ones that we broke a lot of, and we're going to talk about it. So we've got Topps Chrome as a brand, Ben Baller, Chrome Sapphire. When all this stuff released, especially with the Ben Baller stuff coming out in the middle of the pandemic, I mean, it got on fire.
Chrome Black.
Yeah, Chrome Black, you know, which was a new introduction to this year's product lines. So what are your thoughts? I mean, Chrome, you busted a lot of it just as much as we did. What are your thoughts on baseball Chrome?
The only SKU that I did not get a chance to open was the Ben Baller stuff. Generally, too, Chrome, I do like Chrome. I know it's crazy to say this, but for those that break with us, they know that I actually prefer Optic as a product to open up wise. But I know that Chrome, because it has the MLB license, is a very important product. I did like the Black Chrome a lot, that one that just came out recently. That was probably great idea by Topps, you know, from a business standpoint. But just visually is an amazing looking take on Chrome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, they did a good job on Chrome this year. I think the ratio of hitting like the good rookies was a lot better than I've seen in previous years. I will say that. So, because it'd be a struggle most years to hit like some of the top guys in Chrome and regular Chrome. So, good product this year.
And then we got 2020 Bowman, which I think also took the hobby by storm towards the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, Jason Dominguez was pretty much crowned as the next coming of God when that product came out. I mean, everybody was going after this guy. And with an out-of-this-world nickname as the Martian, pretty much signified what his prices were. I mean, you know, and they're still crazy. And this kid's like 18. He's on the Yankees. It was the perfect you know, collision of this product coming out, the pandemic happening, and this guy on the Yankees just hit 500-foot home runs. So, and then you had Bobby Witt as well, who was another low pick that came out in 2020 Bowman. And, you know, it was like I said, it was a perfect timing. What were your thoughts? I mean, we ripped a lot of this stuff. What did you think about Bowman?
It was for me for this year. It was. I guess it was all right. It's
hard to hit the main guys.
Yeah, it is. It was definitely hard. We hit a couple of them. I really can't recall. Like if it was tough. It was tough. But I will say probably better than last year's Bowman maybe. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny. We're bringing up baseball first, but I feel like right now, if you had a ranking in the hobby of sport and popularity, and all, obviously it's all based on, you know, what you guys collect as collectors. But if you're like on like, oh, I'm on that hype train, which is the name of this show, I feel like baseball's third now. I feel like football kind of passed up baseball at the moment, but that, mm-hmm. that could be the factor of there's really no minor league. The baseball season was shortened. But you know, I had that bubble thing going on, or not the bubble, but the way they played the season this year. So I felt like then football came in at a perfect time, and then obviously basketball like felt like they took 10 days off and it started back up again. So I feel like right now there's some really good deals on some of these Bowman guys that just haven't really gotten a chance to play in the minors. I mean, if you're trying to buy Dominguez, he's not going to be cheap, but if you're, you know, or Torkelson or maybe even Yerstad, but if you're buying some like the 20th pick, or you're buying some of these guys that were in Chrome, especially Bowman Chrome, these international guys that did not get to play, like Byron Laura's one thing, his prices are up there, but like there's some guys in there you probably get like $5 Bowman autos that are gonna be studs, that are gonna be the next Tatis, that are gonna be the next Vlad Guerrero. So it may not be sexy to say like I picked up this guy from the Royals who's 17. Yeah. Nobody's gonna know what you're talking about, but in 5 years you're gonna be like, I was the dude that picked that guy up. So that's the beauty of Bowman, year in and year out.
Yeah, even though, you know, like you said, even though it feels like for sure like Bowman's the third tier in terms of the hobby right now, it's gonna reclaim his place eventually. Like baseball is always gonna be number one, you know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, like it's gonna be the most sought after, most ripped, most, you know, purchased hobby product out there. But yeah, right now it's like the hype is on football and basketball.
Absolutely. I never thought that football would be as big as it is currently. Yeah. But you know, we have a great rookie class, but we'll talk about football here in a little bit. But also we've got tribute, and the reason I put this up there is because it literally was the pandemic product.
It was
like the first one that came out. You know, we shut down. Everybody shut down. And then, is tribute still coming out? I don't know. Is it coming out? Like, are they still making cards? I mean, what are we doing? Is anybody going to still buy cards?
Bro, tribute, because it definitely 1,000% was of the pandemic, because tribute is generally not really a sought-after product. We generally struggle to even sell it, you know, like most years. But boy, was it like hard to keep in stock when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, we like what he just said. I love the product visually. I love what it stands for.
Yeah.
But as far as like singles and being like the price point of like $350 a box, it's like it's one of those products that we break and we like don't make any money. Most of the time, lose money. And this year, it was just the demand was out of control because people were like at home, couldn't go to anything, lockdowns. Okay, I'm going to check out this baseball product. It was the first kind of the signal of like celebrities and guys with blue check marks that I was seeing getting into breaks, right? Guys with blue check mark. I go, hey, that guy has a blue check mark. He bought into our break. You know, like, wow. It was the beginning of the Logan Pauls and the Rob Kardashians and stuff like that that kind of got into this hobby, because it was like what, March?
Yep.
March or April where this thing came out?
Yep, right after Bowman, actually.
And so it was giving people that weren't in this hobby a taste of what this hobby has to offer. Like, wow, there's autographs on cards.
Oh, maybe right before Bowman, actually.
It was right before Bowman, because Bowman kept getting pushed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bowman first came out, and I think the regular Bowman didn't come out for like a month after that.
Yep.
That's the only reason that tribute's on this list for top products, because I think
that's significant. It is a significant product for this year.
It's a moment in our time this year that really kind of was big for us. And
that's a good point.
Out of these products, guys, in the chat, what do you guys think? What is your top pick this year for baseball? Lastly, I had to put NT in here for Panini. I know, you know, people that are like, oh, it doesn't have licenses. Oh, it doesn't have the logos. I can't buy cards without logo. But the things that they do in that, like the creativity that they have in National Treasures, that Panini does, kind of, you know, they do more things than Topps can do. And it may be a victim, it may be because they don't have the license, so they're able to do more things, and Topps can't because they have to abide by the license. But, you know, National Treasures has prospects, it has legends, it has all-stars, it has shoe cards, it has bat, it just has something for rookie RPAs. And, you know, you can look up, the acetates, they always are kind of doing newer things with National Treasures. And I think it's kind of like one of those things that, you know, it's kind of the uglier kid where he has to perform better. So it's like they have to they have to outperform themselves to keep up with like the top Sterlings and stuff like that, right?
To keep up with Definitive, which is by the way my favorite baseball product.
Yep, you know, like my wife's much prettier than I am, so I have to outdo myself to, you know, to make up for it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, dude, to your point, NT actually this year, I think from the beginning we were all saying like, wow, it's by far the best NT that I've seen in years in terms of Panini baseball. Just the different variation of the RPAs that they did, you know, it was all sick looking stuff. You know, the regular relics are the regular relics. They're always going to be the same, but the stuff they were doing with the acetate and the rookie patch autos this year, and of course, you know, like all the crazy memorabilia that you can get every now and then, or the 1632 booklets or whatever.
Yeah, Breaker's Nightmares,
but they look cool, especially when it's something significant in those booklets. Like if it's all autographs, it's amazing, you know what I'm saying? Or if it's all like 101 patches or something like that, it's amazing, but...
Young Cody got to experience his first 32-player book card on a Monday break.
Oh.
He was very excited about the card, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, just wait till you have to do the random. Just wait till you have to do the random.
Yeah, that takes a hot minute, bro, because you got to see how many spots does each player have.
And then God forbid you miss one, which has happened to me, where, you didn't have the Cardinals in there. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So it was, you know. But, yeah, I mean, they do that stuff that you don't see in Tops. I mean, you typically don't see multiplayers to that extent. You don't see, you know, some of the cut autos they do. So definitely good. You know, we don't have a slide for worse. We're going to update you guys on worse products next week.
We'll do worse next week, guys.
We're going to do worse next week. But just throw out some products that you guys think are the worst baseball products of the year. You know, stuff that comes to my mind, I don't, you know. They all have their place. I mean, like, you know, I may not necessarily be like a heritage guy, but some people are, you know, so I can't really say that's the worst. But I mean, off the top of your mind, what comes to your mind?
Bro, I know last year it was easy for a general pick for all of us, right? Last year was Lumber.
Yeah, they didn't make that anymore.
Yeah, they didn't make that in 2020. Thank goodness. But I feel like there was something similar that they try to do with like Lumber that I'm trying to think of. You know, Panini, like we were
Absolute
just,
was kind of, right?
Yeah,
if I had to throw that up there, they I mean, you promised, what, like 4 hits a box, but a lot of it was like repeating itself, you know?
That might be it. That's their one product that they give you a lot of hits, but it's not amazing. You know what I'm saying?
And I really feel like they, and I know we're picking on Panini, poor Panini here, but like I really feel like Prism Baseball this year was just like, because the Prism name is so big. I mean, we got WNBA Prism that's outperforming.
That's hot.
You know, we got obviously Prism Football, and then you got Prism Basketball. And I know they don't have the license for baseball, but I just feel like it's so underwhelming. Like they could do something to make that brand better. I know they don't have licenses, but just do something different.
And then to that point, Prism is not great, or not even maybe you can't even call it good, but Optic is really good for what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I preach it every year, bro. Optic Baseball is like it's a fun product to rip, it's a fun product to collect for. The cards generally look pretty nice, you know what I mean? That's the main draw of it for me. So the fact that they can't figure it out with Prism is kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean they've tried what's the no huddle version in that one called? I forget. Quick pitch. They tried that. They did the choice. I mean they've tried to kind of emulate what they've done with the basketball and the football, but they just haven't been able to hit the mark quite yet on that. And honestly, baseball golds and reds and stuff like that just don't perform when they're not licensed.
Yeah.
So not like a Zion gold would sell like a Randy or Rosarena gold. It's not the same thing, right? So so that's that. And I would mention maybe Sterling, Topps Sterling, not Bowman Sterling, Topps Sterling being in that category specifically based on price point. I would say if it was a $300 to $400 box, I'd say, hey, it's a decent product. But at $1,000 a box, they were selling it for basically two cards that like so a lot of you guys are new and you don't remember the 2007, 2008, 2009 Top Sterling that came in a little mini box. They did so much more creative stuff with it where they still did it where they had, like, you opened it up and you could find out it was RBI leaders or 300 home run club. Like, but they were a lot more creative then. This, I felt like it was rushed. They had to make more of it, and it just, they didn't really do the right categories. I mean, like, Yankee grades, it was the only team they represented, which sucks for breaks because you open it, oh, Yankee grades. The other 29 guys are turning off the feed, right? They did, like, they had 1980, whatever, and then there was, like, a 1990 guy inside. It was just, like, badly put together. And you know, just giving,
so they
somebody
keep with their theme,
they couldn't. And yeah. I mean, I know there's some high end like bat knobs and bat plates and stuff in there, but I felt for the price point, it was kind of weak.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Magless sure. Dynasty, was there a dynasty that was not Matt? Oh, I see what you're saying. You're comparing it to Sterling.
Sterling is,
yeah, that's a perfect point. Yeah, and it's in that the Sterling's in those little
snaps,
right? And you have to open it up. You can kind of see through it already. Yeah. I don't know why. Could have been the top loader shortage that was affecting them at that point. Maybe they weren't able to get mags, but still. Yeah, yeah, it didn't look as great. So let's move on to the next sport here that we're going to talk about. Let's get in our heads of the game for NFL. NFL's tricky because we had 2 years kind of combined into 1 year, right? We still had the tail end of 19 at the beginning of the year, and then we have 20, obviously,
so we
now.
Can pretty much talk about both years.
You can kind of talk about both years. I put in Mosaic here, which really kind of, as a they just, Panini's had impeccable timing, no pun intended, but they came out with Mosaic Friday after the first Thursday game of the year, so it was bonkers. It was literally, people were
starving.
And they were the guy, basketball guys. Basketball ended. Zion's not playing anymore. I want shiny. Here you go, Mosaic. I mean, there was Clyde Edwards-Helaire cards selling, base cards selling for like $150, $200. It was insane because he had a 100-yard game and 2 touchdowns. Ultimate hype on that guy. But Mosaic as a brand is still, you know, for its first year in football, really taken off.
Really strong. Really strong market.
And I like it. We're selling a lot of it in the shop still. We're selling cello packs, I think, for like $25. They're selling all day long because the Prism's so much more expensive where you can get the cheaper version of the Prism and the Mosaic. What was your thoughts on Mosaic? Basically a copycat of NBA, but do you think they did it well?
I actually, in this case, in one of these cases, I actually, even though Mosaic started as a basketball product, let's welcome back Dan here. Even though Mosaic started as a basketball product, I actually prefer the football version. It was just a more fun rip. It's almost the same thing for me. For those that break with us, they know that I prefer Prism football over Prism basketball. Even the Prism basketball is more valuable. I prefer opening Prism football more because it's just more interesting to me to look at. Maybe it's because more players, you know what I mean? Like more variations. I don't know what it is, but I actually love the Mosaic Prism football this year.
Kombucha, why don't you marry it?
I will.
Kombucha Dan, did you sell something?
Yeah, dude, Pokemon, man. Pokedan, just
in the building.
Very few people know as much about Pokemon as I do. So that's what I do. I come in and I just move in Pokemon from front to back, left to right, top to bottom.
On the original Pokemon list, who's the 150th Pokemon?
Dude, that's Jigglypuff. There's no doubt in my mind.
You know, it's funny. We've had this conversation. We opened the shop. We have quite a bit of Pokemon here available. So if you are a Pokemon fan, come on down.
But come on down and talk to Pokey Dan.
Come on, talk to Pokey Dan. But, you know, guys that come in looking for sports cards, you know, kind of need a lot of education. Like, they need to know, like, hey, they came from Target. A lot of these guys that are coming in, I'll tell you, at the shop, 95% of people are collected within the last 6 months. There are very few old-school 10-year vets or 20, 30-year vets come in the shop. All new people. But so we're educating those people and telling them the difference between blasters and the difference between the different versions of the products. We're educating those people. We were fearing that we're going to get the same thing with Pokemon. Pokemon collectors come in. They know what they want. They ask no questions. They know exactly what they want. They're like, I'll take one of those champion bat trainer boxes. And they're like, okay, cool. I mean, they don't go like, can I get a Charizard in there? Or, you know, is Jigglypuff in card number 150? That doesn't happen.
Yes.
So
was it 149 or 150?
Yeah, it was
150.
150, yeah.
Just yeah,
look it up if you don't believe me.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like they got that stuff. I mean, they're actually educating us, teaching us the way of the game of the Pokemon. So
that must be old because I'm not there.
Yeah, I pause it because I don't want the sound to come in. Yeah, you're invisible, bro.
I'm all what?
So we already went over baseball top products. We're on to football. We've talked a little Mosaic. As you can see here, we've got Prism, National Treasures, Phoenix, and that's actually supposed to be National Treasures 2019 on there, but we'll use the National Treasures Collegiate there. 2020 Absolute, 2019 Contenders, and 2020 Phoenix as the top NFL products of the year.
A lot of good ones there.
Out of those that are on the screen, which one do you like the best, Dan?
There are giant water bottles in the way. There we go. It's
ketones, actually.
What'd you call me?
So, which one do you like the best?
If you had
a limited source to buy one of these boxes, what are you grabbing?
There's National Treasures in there.
Yeah, 2019.
So I'd have to be balling out to get that.
You would.
Man, I'm going to stick true, though, because I love the design. I love the product. I think it is a flag. Well, it is a flagship. I don't think it is a flagship. I'm going Panini Contenders. Panini Contenders is... It's a friend. It's an old friend.
It's that old man music, man.
It is. And everybody knows. I'm old school. I'm the old man collector now.
Autos.
And I'm looking for the autos. I'm not looking for the parallels. I'm looking for the rookie ticket autos.
That's so 20.
Bring me back to 1999.
Nobody collects autos anymore, man.
2015?
Bring me back to 2015, 1999.
It is going to be interesting to see with 2020 contenders coming out here in a few weeks. Obviously, it's going to be a hot product. It's going to sell out. It's going to be expensive. But will the secondary market be as hot for it as the Prism stuff?
Man, we're talking about contenders, right? Yeah. Like, dude, five autos, dude, on a card. I mean, it's the people are going to go back to wanting autos again. It's going to happen. It's going to be – this year is going to be huge. You got to think, what, maybe – 35, maybe 40 guys who are going to be on card when you're chasing like Burrow, Tua, Herbert,
Hurts,
John Taylor,
Love. You're going to get one of those guys in a case probably.
Yeah.
Don't go saying crazy stuff like that.
I guarantee
we get
it.
Two.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. You may get four of them. I don't know.
Somebody's gonna
that might be a little crazy, video. But I guarantee you'll get one of the guys. I guarantee you're gonna get
one of the rookie premier guys.
Okay,
I guarantee you're gonna get one of the rookie
my
premier guys.
Because we're in a parallel era right now, right? Here's my prediction. Not this year. There's probably gonna still only be one on card auto, but Panini's gonna try to bring it really, really back in with the autos next year, 2021, with the Trevor Lawrence year. They're gonna do two on card autos a box.
No, if anything, it's gonna be less autos. So you know what? You could be right. I can see that happening, but I can also see them giving two on-card autos, but only having two on-card autos a box.
That's a hot take.
Well, you know what?
Maybe four autos. So they do two on-card
and two
sticker autos.
Yeah.
You know what I would do if I was running Panini and I'm ultimate hype beast right now.
I thought
now.
You were.
If I'm hype beast, I'm gonna do a Prism Contenders without autos. I'm gonna do Contenders design. Prism with all the number parallels without autos on it as well. Maybe that would be an ultra premium version. So maybe you got the Contenders Hobby, and then you have Contenders Choice that has only one auto, but rookie. Because one thing they don't do with Contenders is there's no rookie cards. There's literally no rookie. They have rookie roundup. They blah, blah, blah. They need to have just a rookie base card.
But that ain't the product, though. You're not opening up Contenders looking for that base cards. You're not looking. Dude. One of the worst designs, and you're going to film me on this, and Conrad will film me on this, the round numbers, the paralleled version
Stupid.
Of it, like
Dumb.
Number to 99
Dumb.
Or number to 149, and it's
Dumb.
Just two dudes who were drafted in the same round.
Dumb.
Do away with it only works if they're on the same team. Come on, Panini.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to compete. I think everybody's votes are going to go towards Prism and Mosaic, would be my opinion. Phoenix really blew us away. I mean, it was underrated. I mean, the last couple years of Phoenix, I dreaded Phoenix. I was like, Phoenix is terrible. I hated it in 19. I hated it in 18. But this year, it just seemed to do well with the parallels and the way they did the autos. And it's really kind of climbed its way up. They did the Fanatics set that does really well. Absolute, you know, different versions of the Kabooms that you can get. I mean, the Kaboom industry is still booming, no pun intended, but people love those Kabooms, and you can only find them in Absolute. I don't even think we were pulling that many of them, right? I think we got a few of them, so.
Very tough. It is
super short.
It is a legitimate short printed insert. Legitimate.
All right, well, let's flip
a lot of cases.
Let's flip the other way and say, what is the worst products of 2020? For football. Well, you can include 19 in there as well.
So this is not the full list. We're still going to go over the full list next week? Or
we're going to go over that as well. But we're going to have people vote.
I thought this was the end of the year review show. We're doing it.
No, what we're going to do.
We're going to do a part two.
Because you weren't here. You were busy doing who knows what.
Just keeping the lights on. You see his lights? You got to keep them on.
We are going to have people vote on Twitter, and we're going to give away stuff. So I think for the week, and then we're going to announce the winners next week.
I actually think people are going to vote NT.
You think people are going to vote NT?
How do you beat it? In terms of, like, what's the best product?
Like, you got to...
There's several components to the product.
Prove me wrong, listeners of Mojo Hype.
I mean, you got to be like, okay, you have... Like, you can get 4 boxes of Contenders or 1 box of NT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to say, hey, you have $2,500 to spend. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Because everybody, like, Conrad's right. Like, if we're not putting a monetary value on it, why not go for the most expensive?
Yeah.
It's like saying, who do you...
They might prove us wrong. I don't know. We might be living in because we live in the parallel era. People might vote Prism.
It's like saying, who do you collect?
That's
like
my pick.
Like a redemption replacement. It's, you know, Mike Trout and Zion and Babe Ruth cutautos.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed says, is Windex Boy drinking a bottle of Vitamedigemen again? I don't know what that is. Ron says you were busy making kombucha in the back. Keep the lights on. So...
Should I be a brewmaster of kombucha? Yeah. Is that the next business model, the Mojo Break Kombucha?
I have feet.
Mojo Kombucha?
Yeah, I don't. That's not the way. It's not made with feet.
That's old Lucy, right?
That's wine, I think.
That's wine.
Where's football products of 2020?
2020, the calendar year of 2020.
I feel like we should automatically exclude collegiate because that's not fair. You know what I mean? Because that's just to warm you up anyways, usually.
I hate to say Zenith, but I mean, I think we had high hopes for Zenith, and then after...
I think you're just basing that on the amount of stock we have. I think it really breaks down to... People must not like it because it's stacked up and it keeps on falling over every time I put football on the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's probably why I see it every day.
You get tired of looking at it. You're like, this product must suck.
I'm trying to think...
Man, what else do we got?
Panini really did knock it out of the park with majority of the football products this year.
You know what I didn't like? Flagship this year. I didn't like Donruss regular.
Oh my God, I love Donruss.
I kind of liked the Donruss this year.
Sorry.
Oh man, it's got to be Zenith for me. Like, now that you mentioned, it's got to be Zenith.
I mean, are we only talking Panini? Or are we gonna?
I mean, we could try to talk. Oh, you gonna talk Leaf? I mean, that's not fair.
I'm going Zenith.
I think this one right here, I forgot about. I really wasn't feeling Elite. Now, that was a product that they had on card early, but the Pen Pals design is just, to me, is just needs to be, they need to figure out something else.
I didn't like Donruss.
Yeah.
I liked Elite. I like Donruss.
I didn't like Donruss. I didn't like Elite.
I like Certified.
I didn't like Certified.
I like Elements was good this year.
I think I only liked 2019 Contenders.
Yeah, I think that's it. Get off my lawn.
It's Zenith, bro. If you look at the complete list of releases, it's Zenith. That's the worst product of 2020.
It could be, but that was an online only, so we almost can give them a pass on that one.
Mm-hmm.
We need to chill out. We should probably do the opposite.
Yeah,
it might have been one of those sleeper products, and I would probably buy as much as I possibly can if I had
Maybe Impeccable's the worst of the year. Impeccable. Worst.
Impeccable.
So I'm just saying that to get you riled up.
I've enjoyed opening up literally every single football product.
What did you guys like about Donruss? That was what was different about it that you were like, man, this is
the value
with
the rookie base.
SP, the rookie base cards were fun to chase.
There was some big autos in there.
You guys are those new school. You guys are new school.
They gave you hits,
too. I like looking at base cards. I'm all, base card. Filler cards, baby.
Well, Donruss gave you a lot of base cards too. That was the thing that was great about it.
Bang for the buck, man.
Too many.
Bang for the buck. No, DP, I said Impeccable. I was just trying to get C-Red riled up, but no,
everybody knows Impeccable is awesome.
All right, let's go into basketball and kind of another. Well, I guess we mostly had 19-20, right? You can't really.
Yes.
Can't really go 18-19. I mean, we may have had.
We can't go 2021 yet.
No, we can't do that either. So we're going to stick with the 19-20 releases. We've got Mosaic, we've got Optic, we got Prism, we got Flawless, and we've got NT. So those are some heavy hitters, man.
We got them all this year.
We got them all, and they're all bangers, and they're all $1 million a box now, which is crazy.
Prism, especially. Oh, my God.
Can I just say they're all my favorites?
We're all favorites.
They're all my favorites.
I think they're the entire hobby's favorites in for the year.
Collect them all. So let's give you this, since you're the basketball guy. What, maybe say a little bit of a piece on all of these, and,
okay,
and we can kind of give our opinions. And in the chat, let's see what you guys think.
Prism, as fun a chase as it's always been. You know, I had a PC guy named Brandon Clark, so he was ultra fun to chase it for the parallels. hands down, it's year to year. I know we do these at the end of the year, but it's always going to be, at the end of the day, National Treasures basketball.
Yeah.
So there's not, you know, like, I don't have much to add to NT other than, you know, the RPA designs were awesome this year. But Prism, you know, Flawless has been a fun product. We haven't ripped enough of it, but obviously we know what it is. Mosaic was interesting one because it was coming off the, we were like, oh, they're not doing Prism Mosaic anymore. It's just Mosaic. And like I was saying earlier, I actually prefer the football Mosaic to it. But overall, it's been a pretty fun year of ripping basketball as well as just like football. Great products this year. A little excess with the different variations. Like, I know that's probably what a lot of people are going to say as well. You know, the different hoops and the 10 million Don Russ products that they came out with here.
Yes.
This year is overkill for sure. And it dilutes the Don Russ brand a little bit, you know, like the optics and the
clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree there. I think my favorite to rip was Optic this year. I just like the velocities. I love the on-card autos on that brand. Obviously, if I was given the choice to buy one, I'd probably buy Prism, you know, mm-hmm. if money wasn't an issue.
Optic is a beautiful set, dude.
And, I mean, Flawless, I don't want to hate too much on Flawless. My biggest gripe, I mean, obviously the cards are selling for massive amounts. I mean, they're just crazy with the logo mans and the dual logo mans, and there's some great cards to chase. But I just want them to get rid of the first, like, after the first patch card, the next six cards, they might as well just be blank dummy cards. I mean, literally, they might just be like, dummy card. It's like, and I didn't play basketball, but Fat Lever, you know, like, Jerome Williams, like, I know they have to get cards in the set to fill the set, and I know it needs to be 10 cards a briefcase, but literally, you're only looking at each briefcase three cards that you want. You know, and the rest is just literally guys that should not be in Flawless.
But the thing is that, like, what's driving me crazy with that analogy is the fact that it is I mean, obviously, maybe some of these, like, vets and legends don't sell for that much, but we're valuing rookies who are not even proven over players who had
our
good or great careers. Like, that isn't on Panini, that is on the consumer that's valuing the rookies as high as they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But couldn't you, like,
you would have the same argument. Like, say it's a bad rookie class and it was nothing but rookies, you'd have the same argument, like, oh man, I wish they put, like, some Dirk in there. I wish they put some Elvin Hayes in there, or like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in there. Not the crappy rookie class that they're putting in there.
You know what would be a good idea for a future episode? And I just this just made me actually think about this with what you guys are talking about. We should do an episode where we rank tiers of basketball players that sign cards. Mm. So, like, you're saying, like, those 5-6 cards are useless, right? Like, what tier are they? What tier autograph signers are they, like, in terms of value to the hobby? You know
right.
what I'm saying? So if, like, say, like, you think that they're all, like, D tier, C tier, maybe players that are signing in Flawless, would it be better if there's, like, B tier players in there? You know what I'm saying?
I almost think, like, you know, and you could take a page out of the old Exquisite, where they would make base cards of top players. Like, just, you could put a LeBron base card in there for $25, or for number to 25, not $25, number to 25, and then have it parallel down.
No base cards in Flawless.
Well, except the diamond.
Yeah, except for the diamond, but
that's
like,
on a, that's not a base card. I consider a diamond.
Because if you look if you look at some of the old Exquisites, they would have, and they still do it in cup hockey, is that there would be a card at the end. It would say their draft pick, and it would be numbered out of whatever. And those cards sell for a lot if it's a top rookie. You could double like the amount of Zions you could hit that way without affecting the patch auto of it. That's just my thought.
Basically, you're just saying you could make more cases. If you put base cards,
well, it would be cheaper for Panini to not have to pay Fat Lever $20. They just make a Zion card number to 25, and it's gonna go nuts. It'll be a Flawless rookie card parallel.
I get what you're saying. But I actually, I would put NT and Flawless, and it has nothing to do with the design, but those are my, it's the value. The value is like, it's probably the worst value because the price is like through the roof with what you're going to get. So those are my two least favorite products. Has nothing to do with the design. It has to do with the value.
Yeah, I just feel like with back on Flawless is like, I feel like you could just do four cards a briefcase. I know that doesn't lend well to group breaking, but like just those guys that are in there are just, I don't know. At this point, like they're just blank dummy cards. And I know these guys have had great careers. No problem of their own. Like they just, they've signed so many over the years that they've literally devalued all of their autographs. And we're at the point now where unless Panini gets Tim Duncan, like who's left? Who's left to sign that hasn't been in the last 7 or 8 years of Flawless? Like Magic Johnson has been in every Panini set forever. He's one of the greatest of all time. But because he's in every set, his cards sell for $80. His autograph sells for like $80. It's nothing for one of the greatest of all time. So it's like, you know, we've got to protect these guys' autographs over time because it's just not worth anything.
So like, you know, the guys like Fat Lever, obviously they're lower tier, right? Like I was just saying before. If there were more guys like, if there were more names, because besides, we know what the top tier guys are, like Steph Curry, right? Dirk Nowitzki. When you're getting those guys, you know that's a big hit.
Charles
right?
Barkley.
So below that tier, if we were getting guys like more like MJ, Magic Johnson, MJ, not Michael Jordan.
Now you'd be onto something.
Yeah, no, but if we were getting guys like more guys like Magic Johnson in the box, would that make it better in your eyes? Flawless.
But you're getting him still,
but
right?
But Magic doesn't sell for anything.
But he sells for more than Fat Lever.
Yeah. He does, but he's a better player than Fat Lever.
Arguably?
Magic Johnson.
Probably
a top 10 of all time. There's probably some people that would say Fat Lever is a top 10 of all time. They're probably Nugget fans. I don't know.
In every inner box, if we were getting Magic, if we were getting Bird, if we were getting like Dame, guys like that, who are like a step above the weaker guys that you know when you get a Lever or whoever like, else, I mean, Jerome, who you're saying.
You know who I've seen in Flawless in the limited amount of cases that I've opened? Like Nick Van Exel.
Doug Christie.
Like what's Nick Van Exel doing in Flawless?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and not even like the first card. Like he's like, it's like 2 to 3 subpar autos after it. It's like one of your better ones in the inner box was Nick Van Exel. But like.
I like Tosin has a good comment in the chat. They could change the player list yearly. Or so. So maybe if Magic Johnson was in this year, maybe you're not going to get another Magic Johnson for three or four years.
They should do that for the whole year.
Yeah.
For every release. It's like.
Mix it up.
Yeah, mix it up. So you're like.
Mix it up.
You're all, okay, this year we're going to have Magic Johnson and Allen Iverson, and they're going to sign this year. Next year we're going to have Barkley, and that way.
It'll give something people to look forward to.
That way it's not. Those players are not flooded year after year.
Yeah.
It's kind of spaced out.
Mm hmm.
So you go, hey, this year, David Robinson, and then in 4 more years, we may have a signed another contract with David Robinson.
Yeah, and that would be ideal. I think this year, obviously, the pandemic makes it hard for them to get a hold of some guys probably just weren't even going to do any kind of business whatsoever for this year. I mean, with everything that's going on in the world. But I think it's at the point where they're sending sticker books. They're sending cards out to as many people as possible. And they may only get like 60 to 70% of that returned, right? So then they have to kind of try to figure out what they're going to do to make the set.
At best.
That's why you see Kyrie's. Every Kyrie I've been pulling has been like a Celtics one. And I look in the back and it's 17-18. So obviously there's no redemptions in Flawless. Kyrie must have not turned in his cards from 17-18 until recently. So now he's getting inserted into this year's Flawless. So that probably happens. There was probably somebody they sent the card to, let's just say Draymond was supposed to sign for this year's Flawless. Well, Draymond, you know, he was busy. He was doing those whitening teeth commercials and stuff, and he didn't sign the cards. So now they're waiting for. So they got to pull him off the checklist, put somebody else in, and then maybe when Draymond sends his stuff back in, maybe he's in 2021 Flawless, right? So those are probably some big challenges. These athletes really don't have to sign. That's probably why and I hate to keep kicking Fat Lever, but like Fat Lever
just
probably.
Just say Alex English.
Fat Lever and Alex English, same person. They sign for probably $10 to $15 an auto or less, and they're happy to do it because that's their income. You know what I'm saying? That's those guys maybe made, I don't know, I'm just spitballing. Those guys maybe only made like $250,000 a year, and now it's been 30 or 40 years since they played, and that's the only way that they can make money. So they're happy to be like, yeah, send me more, Panini, send me more, send
exactly.
me more.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, but I had some honorable mentions for best product of the year. I think, you know, 1&1 is definitely one to talk about. We didn't have high hopes for it, but people loved those timeless memories.
Paying big bucks for it too.
Which I felt like they used the wrong pen on that one. It's too streaky, but people still love it regardless.
Mm. Yeah, I can't vote for that product based on name alone.
1&1.
One-on-one would have been a better name.
One-on-one, yeah, like that.
Yeah, that's a bit.
It has
how everybody plays basketball.
It has a basketball reference to it. 1&1, and I know why they did it, because it's one base card, one encased hit. Mm-hmm. I get it.
But, and one, that does has a basketball reference as well. And one.
You know, and it's funny, you see this happen at Panini where like let's get to the table here. Let's talk about some new products.
Is that what
here.
We're doing right now?
Yeah. We got to make 6 more releases this year. Zion's coming out. We got to do 6 more releases.
I like how you have a different you have like a Panini voice.
You got the football you got the football guy in the background going, "Well, we have all the one Photoshop." There you go. All we got to do is take the one football card design, take the dudes out of it, throw the basketball dudes on there, done. So it's like less work, right? Where they already have all the logos, you just have to add the and one, but all the RPA designs are the same as football. A lot of the autos are the same as football. So it's probably easy for them to transition into stuff like that, rather than let's create Panini Shoe-Bee-Doo basketball, where it's a whole brand new like line of color schemes and stuff like that. That takes them a lot more to develop. So you see them doing this more often, crossing over. Oh, one football is popular. Let's bring it to basketball. Let's bring it to baseball. Let's, you know, you'll probably see two on and one out baseball or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and it's
going to
come
no.
out one hit
please
baseball
God, no.
product. Because they've already got the designs.
That's a dumber name than one and one.
One on and one out. You don't get many ideas. It'll happen. It will happen.
There's probably a lot of products we haven't covered today for all sports. So, yeah, whatever you guys, when you guys comment, make your vote about the best products, you guys go ahead and put those
write-ins,
those honorable mentions in the messages as well. Not the chat room, because we're looking for comments on our YouTube
but
chat.
But we talked about the crossover, and you can probably go back 4, 5, 6 years in a podcast that we did talking about how not necessarily every product could cross over to certain categories mm-hmm. in different sports. That is out the window now. I think if they come up with a new product line, a new name, a new design,
it's for all.
You might
sports.
As well just assume that it is going to be crossed over to everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just the way it's going to be. And I think what you were saying, it does make it a lot easier.
Yeah, because development just, time is money, bro.
The product is already done. The design is done. The subsets are done. Everything's done. All you got to do is tweak a couple things here and there, and you got another product.
I mean, same thing with like select baseball, select soccer, select football. They're all the same designs.
Select NASCAR.
Select now, I think, is a flagship. It's kind of like a optic, and it's kind of like a prism, and it. But XR, will there be an XR basketball release?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
I think they test the waters with Chronicles. They see how popular a design is.
But then, basketball doesn't count because everything is popular. So, like, literally every single subset that's in Chronicles, they could make a standalone product.
They could.
For.
But last year, remember, 1819 Chronicles, Origins was the most popular design. So, what did they do for 1920? They're like, let's make an Origins basketball.
Right. I'm not going to be.
Let's make Inception basketball.
Yeah. I'm not going to be surprised if Luminance makes a debut for basketball because. That John Morant photo, that the card was selling for like $1,000 out of the gate for the base card. Mm-hmm. I don't think they still are, but that and the writing, I think basketball collectors seem to love that one.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we got a little LaMelo Ball Luminance set, you know, like, you know, Wiseman Edwards coming out in that release. So, but yeah, go ahead and vote your guys' stuff. Tell us what you like for the top NBA products.
Can you even say a worse basketball product this year or what?
Illusions. Which is another one we have a lot of.
I will know. Illusions not. Black
basketball.
It's worse.
Yeah.
Which got a fair amount of that too.
Easier rip, but it's worse than Illusions.
Yeah, because the football version actually is sought after.
It's dope.
Yeah.
Black football is dope. Black basketball.
Dude, I'll tell you right. I got one that's you guys aren't going to believe. Chronicles basketball.
Nah.
I hated Chronicles basketball.
Not me. I'm not in that
sorry.
Camp.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm breaking hearts right now, but yeah, that I can do without that.
I'll give you that it was a step back from last year's.
Sorry,
Chronicles.
Cody. I got closer to the microphone, then I touched the microphone. I see you moving
you
back and
all.
Forth. I'm screwing with you right now. Yeah. I need to go out there and sell some more Pokemon.
I'll give you that as well. It's not as good as last year's, but that's still a pretty fun product, bro.
Yeah, I like the variety. I didn't like all the cards. I mean, literally, it's just top loading every card.
Yeah, I'm literally just going through them like flipping, top loading, flipping over. Is this parallel? Who knows? Is this a number? I don't know.
I wasn't a huge fan of clearly Donruss. I'm not going to say it's the worst product, but
it's not the worst.
There wasn't a lot of variety for me on that one. Like, I'd pick Hoops. If I had 300 and whatever dollars to spend, I'd pick Hoops Premium over
Hoops Premium
clearly.
Is absolutely better than clearly Donruss for sure.
Yeah.
Clearly Donruss, the centering was tough. The surface was tough. Yeah, and I've talked about it before, like, generally, like the acetate cards, like high tech, they grade well. I can't see a lot of clearly Donruss grading well.
Oh, that's crazy because I feel when I compare it to high tech, I notice more. Well, the thing with high tech is that you can some of the surface issues can be disguised because of the design, but clearly, like, you see the whole thing. Like,
yeah,
there is no background design at all. So for me, I felt like because they packed those high-tech cards, like 40 of them together.
Yeah.
Where clearly Donruss, you're only getting 5 a pack. So I felt like the surfaces were a little bit better in clearly, actually.
Yeah, and it almost like they almost miscut some of those on purpose.
They miscut them, though, for sure.
Yeah.
On purpose?
Well,
who goes out of their way?
Well, but if you think about it, I mean, let's just say, I'm throwing out numbers because I don't know, but let's just say there's 150,000 Zion base cards out of there. If they're all 10s, they're all perfectly cut, then we have no secondary market. But if they're,
dude, they're
some
not,
of them are miscut.
No one is going out of their way to be like, you know what? Just get the cutting thing off a little bit and just.
But how? But if you're living, I don't know. I've never
that?
Went to Cardamundi. I don't know how they cut cards, but you would think that you could precision cut a card perfectly.
No, man, they're cutting cards like the way I used to cut band flyers back in the day, just, dude. At Kinko's, just like going through with that little
lever
thing.
I mean, that would they make these phones perfect every time. Every time, if you're,
well,
if
I mean, they don't make yours perfect at all.
Yeah, they
They've
do.
Never I, made yours. They never made an
perfect.
Apple
perfect.
Perfect anything.
Apple perfect, perfect apple.
Perfect apple.
But
perfect
I'm just
apple.
Saying. I mean, I almost feel like sometimes they're doing things with borders. They're doing things with cut, the way they cut the cards to prevent everybody from having a PSA 10. And that is especially prevalent in the clearly Donruss, in my opinion, is that if everybody had a 10, then the 10s wouldn't be worth anything.
You know, product was dope. Premium Hoops.
Yeah, it was dope.
A great product.
Yeah,
that,
good
great
value. And
I thought it was going to be terrible, though. And I was like, what is the... You can go back probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, and I'm like, why?
I think we all said why.
Why?
Shout out
now to... Now I'm like, I think you guys figured it out. We should do maybe Hoops Premium, Hoops Ultra, Hoops Extra.
Yeah, Shaq Sports says Luminance cards are just such well-taken action shots. I'd rather have a Luminance rookie than the Jaw than the Prism. I can't disagree on the photo. Obviously, the value is different. But, yes, photo-wise, yes. We also have Mojo Cali Kid that says, iPhone are amazing devices, Doug. Yes, and I know.
Well, he doesn't know shit.
I don't need many people to tell me that. I know that there's. I know that they're just a superior phone.
Shane knows nothing.
Yeah. It was a DP. What did D Porter say? Rob's first band?
Yeah, Violence, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude. We have actually, Pro Set Superstars has a Violence card in there that we actually had Rob sign. We have two signed versions of Rob Flynn Violence cards, by the way.
That's
people
dope.
Are saying, what are you guys talking about? It's singer of Machine Head. It's a heavy metal band from this area. But anyways, yeah, we brought it to him at the meet and greet, and he was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And he signed it for us. But anyways, let's move on to hockey for top products of the year. We threw a few hockey products in here. 1920 Premier, 1920 Credentials, and 2021 Series 1 Lafreniere. The Lafreniere hype. One thing I will say about hockey cards is they're still relatively affordable. We do 10 box mixers at $59, which is out of this world for any other sports.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's definitely some value there. And I feel like hockey is on the cusp of maybe not overtaking basketball, but bridging the gap between the sports for being sought after. There was just that $1 million Gretzky sale. So I think that legitimizes hockey cards in a sense, that people are going to be like, well, is Crosby the next, you know, the next Gretzky? Is Ovechkin? Is Hughes? Is McDavid? Is Lafreniere the next guy? So I think you're going to see this, and especially with hockey starting back up again, you're going to get a little bit of hype. I know you're going to say your favorite was probably Premier, right?
That's the only one I rip.
That's the one you love, you know and love, old trusty Premier.
I think C-Rad went through all of it. Like, not not like everything we had in stock, but I think he went through the whole print run.
the whole print.
You know what I like, before I started doing a bunch of premieres, putting up a bunch of premieres, it was the other one that didn't have as many base either. It was the one right before Premier that came out.
SPX?
No, not SPX. It was
Game Years?
I think it started with the I.
Illusions.
Let me look it up.
Intrigue, no.
You're telling me I thought Panini had I thought Panini had I names like trademarked.
You guys do more, way more hockey than I do, but let me see. It was like super dope one.
I know what my favorite product was.
Braden Point, yep. Derek Brassard, yep. Who will be the next Mario Lemieux? Yeah, exactly. I think hockey's on the cusp of really taking off. I just realized that we have a sold out Bowman draft break, but we do have one more topic to cover. The biggest moments in the hobby this year.
My favorite product was Allure Hockey.
Allure, yeah.
That's Allure. Why I just wanted to get it out there before.
It was ingrained, bro.
Ingrained, yeah. That was a good one too, with the wood cards. That was a dope product. So, biggest moments in this hobby. Was it Rob Kardashian hitting the $1 million Brady or whatever they said was $1 million on TMZ? It was like a $5,000 card. Was it, I know now it's $10 trillion card now. Was it the sale of the Mike Trout Superfractor? Was it the sale of the Giannis Logo Man or the Giannis Prism Black? Was it the sale of the exquisite LeBron? I mean, all these moments kind of propelled during this pandemic, propelled this hobby where I'm not, if you guys haven't seen, CNBC did a report. It was the stock market segment with the ticker going down, and it said pandemic surge, things to invest in. It said Bitcoin, gold, sports cards, and Pokemon. Never thought I would see the day that somebody would say, like, smart investments or sports cards. And I know those people that are true hobbyists, they'll say it's just a hobby. It's supposed to be trading cards. There is people that are dumping out their portfolios of stocks and buying sports cards as future investments. It's crazy to talk about.
But the only teens do that.
What's that?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But there's these moments. So maybe there's ones that we're forgetting about. Maybe like the Kevin Durant getting involved in Star Stock, the Gary V stuff. What is the biggest single moment of our hobby for this year? What is it? Because it's been a banner year for this hobby. So what do you guys think? I'll start with C-Rad.
I'm going to say the biggest moment for our hobby this year was obviously what's going on with the world, the pandemic, and then getting the last dance Michael Jordan documentary.
Yeah,
that was a pretty big moment because we were already headed towards like a banner year, right, in general for sports cards. Like, it was growing up before the pandemic. And then when everything hit and everybody was now at home, had more time at home or working from home, and then people were trying to figure out what they were going to do and for the free time, and then probably a lot more people joined the hobby at that point. So I feel like that was the single biggest moment for us this year.
Buster agrees with you. The pandemic is the biggest moment of the hobby. But I do. Yeah, I totally forgot about the Last Dance. The Last Dance was like the only sport that was on. I mean, it wasn't obviously live, but it was like the only thing us sports fans had. And then I think you had some like, well, let me collect a Jordan rookie card.
Yeah, everybody remember, like, I had a Jordan. I had a Jordan card in the night. Even if it wasn't a rookie, they're like, I had a Jordan.
Yep. And then you see what follows suit to that. You got, well, I can't afford a Jordan. Maybe I'll buy a Luka. Maybe I'll buy a LeBron. Maybe I'll buy a Magic Johnson. So it's just the series of events that happens afterwards, and then the sales kind of legitimize everything, right, with the Trout sale for ungodly amounts, the exquisite ungodly amounts. You also, I mean, you can't discount like what you can't discount what like Gary V's done for the hobby, you know, as far as you know, doing stuff to really be a pioneer for this hobby. Logan Paul with the Pokemon, just like Logic getting involved in Pokemon. It's just all these things that have happened that have propelled and put this industry mainstream, right? So it's Steven wants to know where his we never found the biggest moment is never finding the Zion logo, man, and why he didn't get it from you.
Because Zion's not my boy like Luca is.
You would have hit Luca, yeah.
I think we have a case floating around, right?
Like we have a couple boxes left.
Yeah, a couple boxes.
Maybe
there.
It's still out there.
Yeah, I probably in the next random number.
Yeah,
I'm calling my shot.
Random number. Crazy.
That'd be huge.
Crazy.
The
Luca logo, man, auto was pulled, right? And the tray.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
The Luca logo, man, for sure. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it sold. From what I heard it sold privately.
It did. Yeah.
So there's really no documented sale on that.
Dude,
but
I don't know why. You bought it. You bought it.
Just kidding. It's quiet.
It's gonna be in the next buyback product. It's gonna be $73,000 a spot. $73,000 a spot.
I thought he was going to say $77,000 a spot.
Good deal.
I know. I should have went 77, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to discount it to 73.
Okay.
It's going to start at 77.
Mm-hmm. That's a deal.
Steven's buying the 99 spots, he says. Chris says he's got to say the Wayne Gretzky because it was huge for vintage. And that's a good point because everybody was chasing like the newest cards, but it's like this card, this OPG PSA 10 Wayne Gretzky, $1 million. Wow, vintage. And I think what people are going to realize is like the pop report on these Zions and these Lucas are in the 20, 30, 40 thousands, right? Where you have like these vintage cards that are in the like the 1 to 2,000. So there's really a lot less of these vintage cards out there than there is of these newer cards. And you got to bank on the fact that like, look what happened with Ja. I think it's fine. He's going to be back in 3 to 5 weeks, but you know.
Scary moment. If you're a collector of Ja, for sure.
The Gretzky one, just a little side note on it, it's a little tricky because there's an Opeachy rookie and there's a Topps rookie. So they both go for a lot, but the one that sold, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was the Opeachy.
Okay.
So, and they both look identical.
PSA 10, was it?
Yeah. So that's another thing. Like, I don't know if the pop report if there's more Opeachies or if there's more Tops.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we got for today's show. Remember, we're doing the 25. We're giving away $25,000 to the Barstool Fund. We're doing a 2020 Transcendent case on Monday. It's a 58 spot break. Everybody gets something, whether it be a cut auto, a invite to the VIP party, whether it be an auto, whether it be a set. Everybody gets something. $399. It's the lowest price out there. And 100% of the proceeds, 100% of the money that we take in is going to the Barstool Fund to help small businesses, okay? So, you know, there's a lot of businesses out there that were affected by COVID that had to shut down that haven't even been opened yet. So Barstool is doing a great job of getting these people that qualify this money for their business. And as small businesses, as a small business ourselves, that, you know, we had a decent year. We felt like this is the least we can do. So while you guys joining in on that Transcendent break, even if you get a $40 auto out of there, at least you know that money's going to help a small business out. So check it out. I think the spots are selling really quickly at that price. So if you want to jump in, it's right on the site, mojobreak.com. It's all over our social media as well, so you can find the link there. But we got breaks. We're going to have Heritage Heritage High Number on Monday, I believe, which just came out. We've got more Flawless throughout the weekend, Flawless Basketball. We got some Bowman's Best, some Bowman Draft, all kinds of stuff. So check out the site, mojobreak.com, for breaks. Mojo Breaks Shop, if you're going to shop for sealed wax, we got vintage wax, mojobreakshop.com. And if you're in the NorCal Bay Area, our shop is 2060 Duane Avenue. We're open right now, Monday through Friday, 12 to 5. So stop by and say hi. Check out the brand new shop. And we'll see you guys next week on The Hype number 171. Peace out, guys.